Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. This is the reading of God's word. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. And cause us to be alert, even though it's hot and noisy. But Father, let us truly hear your voice through your word. And through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us, so that it will cause us to rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. Bless us that your word will be preached correctly, and every one of us will hear and understand and believe and obey your word to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, last time we saw how Jesus was born. God has come, and he is the Savior, the Christ, and the Lord. As we have seen last time, as Jesus is born, the new creation has begun. From 21, verse 21, Luke tells us what happened soon after the birth of Jesus Christ. We are looking at verses 21 through 24, and many things happen in that short passage. Well, I always want to read his word as often as possible. So let me read to you once again, Luke chapter 2, verse 21 through 24. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses was completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, set apart to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. So we see 4 things happening there. First, Jesus is named. And second, Jesus receives a circumcision. And third, Jesus is presented to God the Father as a firstborn. And fourth, the days for the Mary's purification were completed, so they come to Jerusalem to offer a sacrifice. Now, when you read Luke, that passage that we just read, Luke lumps together the naming of Jesus with the circumcision of Jesus. And Luke also lumps together a sacrifice for Mary's purification and the presentation of Jesus to God. So through these 4 verses then, Luke shows that what Jesus Christ will do, and what he will accomplish. And through these 4 things, we see that Jesus, though he is God, truly became a man, and he came as a seed of woman and born under the law. Jesus truly, as you will see, observes the law perfectly. So let us go through these 4 things. And at the end, then we're going to see how these 4 things are related to us. Because obviously, if it is not relating to us, then why we are looking at it? The naming of Jesus. Verse 21b, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. In chapter 1, verse 31, if you remember, God gives the name Jesus through the angel Gabriel. Matthew tells us the meaning of that name, Jesus. Matthew 1, verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus means he will save his people from their sins. Even his name tells us what he came to do. Only through Jesus and only through what he does and accomplishes, his people are saved from sins. To believe Jesus Christ means not only believe in who he is, but also believe in what he has done and what he has accomplished for his people. God says this through Luke in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Second thing, Jesus receives the circumcision. We cannot do any other than look at this very briefly today because circumcision is a big topic. Well, what is circumcision? Genesis chapter 17, verse 7, 10 through 12 and 14. I will establish my covenant between me and you, he's talking to Abraham, and your descendants after you throughout their generation for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. And it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. And every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. A servant who is born in the house or who is bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants. But an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. According to this passage, the circumcision is the sign of the covenant. It witnesses the reality of being a member of that covenant. Those who are not circumcised are cut off from the covenant of God because he shows that he doesn't belong. And those who are circumcised now must, as a member of the covenant, obey God. The circumcision is a ceremony of cutting the foreskin. It points to the judgment of God, a symbol of being cut off from the covenant of God, a symbol of the future offspring being cut off, no more offspring, a symbol of death. But if you see the circumcision in a positive way, it is a symbol of offering oneself wholly to God. Isaac, as you know, receives a physical circumcision in Genesis 21, but in chapter 22 of Genesis, as Isaac is offered up to God, we see the ultimate circumcision of Isaac. But the Old Testament circumcision was a type. The true circumcision is the circumcision of our hearts. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, the true circumcision is not circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. A circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit coming to his child and recreates him as a new creation and gives him a new heart. That is the true circumcision. And because we're circumcised in our heart, meaning we're given a new heart, with that heart we now start to love God and believe in his word. This, in the New Testament, this reality is witnessed through baptism instead of circumcision. It is a sign and seal of that person who's being baptized being dead to sin and alive to God. It is to lay aside our old self and putting on the new self. It is a sign and seal of the reality of our union with Christ in His death and resurrection. So one who is circumcised in his heart now do his best to obey God. Even from the Old Testament, God showed us that the true circumcision is not just circumcision in the flesh. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4, it says, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and remove the foreskin of your heart. Only through the work of the Holy Spirit in us that we are circumcised. Jesus receives the circumcision on the eighth day. But His ultimate circumcision is His death on the cross. God says through Paul in Colossians chapter 2 verse 11, and in Him, Jesus, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. If we understand the phrase in the removal of the body of flesh as laying aside our old self and the circumcision of God, Jesus Christ, as His cross, you know, on the cross, His blood was shed and He was cut off. He died. With all that together, we could translate then, going back to Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, as follows. And in Him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hand, a circumcision of laying aside our old self, being united to Jesus' death on the cross, which is true circumcision of Christ. Thus, like the story of Isaac, Jesus' circumcision on the eighth day points to His ultimate circumcision, which is death on the cross. We move on to verse 22. And when the day of their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. So here, a sacrifice for the purification for Mary, even though our translation says the days for their purification, other translation will say the days for her purification. But it is a purification for Mary because she just gave birth to a son. And in the Old Testament, every woman who gives birth to a son or daughter, they had to go through this days of purification. We'll explain that later. But when you read that, Luke lumps these two events, presenting Jesus to God and the days of purification being done so that Mary has to give a sacrifice. Luke lumps it together as if it is happening on the same day. Now, so many people take an issue with this. They say things like, Luke did not know the Old Testament custom, so Luke puts these things together as one event. By saying that, they're saying Luke made up this kind of events, and he did not understand Old Testament custom, he just somehow made up this event, but put these events as a one event. Now, I already told you that I'm not dealing with a lot of these kind of things. Oh, there's so many attacks on the Gospel of Luke, and they're trying very hard to disprove that it is God's word. Believe me, of so many. But I usually don't deal with it because I believe that it's just nonsense. And I don't want to take time to do that. But here, many historians tell us that at the time of Jesus' birth, for the convenience, many did these two things together. It was very hard for this woman to come to a temple, you know, twice, but she cannot come out of the house until the days of the purification is done. And Jesus, every male has to be circumcised on the eighth day. But the days of purification, if it was male, is 40 days. If it is female, is 80 days. Actually, 41 and double that. But because it's so hard for them to come to the temple, many historians, they tell us that for convenience, they did this thing together. But let's look at these events then. The presentation of the firstborn to God. Oh, this is not... Sorry, I got confused. We're not talking about circumcision anymore, right? We already said that. This is presentation of Jesus. Yeah, because the circumcision, you need to come on the eighth day, no matter what, right? Eighth day. That, which means mother cannot come to that. Because her days of purification is 40 days. So we're not talking about circumcision. I hope that doesn't confuse you. We're talking about presenting Jesus to our God as a firstborn. That's a different event. So first, the presentation of the firstborn to God. Let me read to you Exodus 13, verse 2 and verse 12 through 13. God says to Israelites, sanctify to me every firstborn, the first offspring of every womb among the sons of Israel, both of man and beast, it belongs to me. You shall devote to the Lord the first offspring of every womb and the first offspring of every beast that you own, and males belong to the Lord. But every first offspring of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, but if you do not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. Kill it. And every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And if you go to Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 35 and 36, and that they might bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all the fruit of every tree to the house of the Lord annually, and bring to the house of our God the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle and the firstborn of our herds and our flocks, as it is written in the law for the priests who are ministering in the house of our God. God says every firstborn belongs to him. Now, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, all the Egyptian firstborn, they died. And the Israelite firstborn did not die, but the reason for them not dying was not that they were righteous before God, unlike Egyptians. They deserved to die, same as the firstborns of Egyptians. This is why Israelites, after they coming out of Egypt, they need to redeem the firstborn. Redemption price must be paid for the firstborn. So as you pay the redemption price, you realize that my firstborn, he deserved to die for his sins, even though it just came out, right? But he is born in sin. It's a reminder to everyone that our firstborn is a sinner who deserve to die. So the redemption price is paid to God. So they will understand that the wage of sin has to be paid in order for that person to live. So this was the custom. Thank God they wouldn't live in the Old Testament time. But we had to do this until Jesus comes. Now all you have to do is look at Jesus and what he does on the cross to remind you of all those things that were reminding Israelites that we all deserve to die. But we don't need any of these things, you know, redemption price. Well, we need redemption price, but that redemption price is Jesus Christ. So what our God wants to do for us is that not, you know, killing animal or paying the redemption price, but look at Jesus. That's the New Testament. But what we need to realize is the same thing. Same thing as the Old Testament people. We are sinners who deserve to die. If a redemption price is not paid, then the firstborn must die. Because if you're not paying that, you're saying that my son, firstborn, is innocent, and I don't need to pay. He doesn't need to be redeemed. Well, that's not true. And that firstborn will die. Numbers chapter 18, verse 15 and 16. Every first issue of the womb of all flesh, whether man or animal, which they offer to the Lord shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall surely redeem, and firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem. As to their redemption price, from a month old you shall redeem them by your valuation, 5 shekels in silver, according to the shekel of sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. So they were redeemed by 5 shekels of silver. That's the redemption price. And here the firstborn represents all the rest. By paying the redemption price of firstborn, you need to realize that every other your sons and daughters need to be redeemed. But God only said you only do it for firstborn so that you will realize it, but understand that everyone is sinner who needs to be redeemed. Otherwise, the wage of sin is death. You must die. Thank God Jesus came and he accomplished our salvation so we don't have to do any of this. Because his cross, more perfectly than all that Old Testament people has done, his death tells us how we must die because we're sinners. All of us. Okay, let me read that to you. So, I lost my place. Okay, here you go. Numbers 18, 15, and 16, I read that. They were redeemed by 5 shekels of silver. And here the firstborn represents all the rest. But later in their history, this representation was done by the tribe of Levi. So Levites, they replaced the firstborns to represent the whole people of God. So now, you know, Levites, you know, they are the only one who could be a priest. They're the only one who could participate in the choir, all those things. But they were representative of all the people. So in the New Testament, all of us are Levites. Because we are all royal priesthood. And every time we sing together, we are members of choir. We sing. That's why we don't have a separate choir. Because that's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, all of us are everything that these things in the Old Testament was pointing to. We are all Levites, all priests. But who is the true firstborn of the new creation? Romans 8, verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that Jesus would be the firstborn among many brethren. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5b, Jesus, the firstborn of the dead. Luke does not say anything about Jesus being redeemed by the five shekels of silver, because Jesus is without sin. Jesus came to obey God and the Father perfectly to save us. He has resurrected from the dead to be the eternal firstborn. And this is very important, because only to the firstborn all the inheritance is given. I mean, if you're from Asian culture, you understand that. The inheritance goes to the firstborn. Thus, no firstborn means you're under God's curse. No inheritance. But you and I, we have the firstborn, Jesus Christ. And in Him, we do receive the inheritance of God. And in Him, all who are in Him are the firstborns of God. Thus, in and through Jesus Christ, the eternal inheritance is given to us. Now, the fourth thing, the sacrifice for the purification of Mary. A ceremony of the Old Testament. We see this in Leviticus 12. I know it's a bit long, but I want you to understand what is going on. So let me read to you from verse 2. Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, when a woman gives birth and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean for 7 days. As in the days of her menstruation, she shall be unclean. On the 8th day, the flesh of the son's foreskin shall be circumcised. Then she will remain in the blood of her purification for 33 days. She shall not touch any consecrated thing, nor enter the sanctuary until the days of her purification is completed. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean for 2 weeks, as in her menstruation. Then she shall remain in the blood of her purification for 66 days. When the days of her purification are completed, for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the doorway of the tent of meeting a one-year-old lamb for a burnt offering and young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. And she shall be cleansed from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who bears a child, whether a male or female. But if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons, the one for a burnt offering and the other for sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. I hope you remember all that I read. Woman gives birth to a son. She is unclean for 7 days. On the 8th day, her son receives the circumcision. And on the then, woman has to go through this purification day, 33 days. And during that day, she cannot come to the temple. She cannot participate in anything that temple acts, temple things. So 7 days, 8 days, and 33 days. Together it comes to 41 days. She needs to wait to be pure. But she becomes a pure after she sacrifices to God. These are the days of her purification. So we see in our passage in Luke that Mary and Joseph and Jesus come into the temple, meaning her days of purification is completed. And that she comes to the temple to make a sacrifice. That's what we're seeing. Rich people bring 1-year-old lamb, but if you're not rich, then you bring just 2 turtle doves and 2 pigeons. And this is what we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So here we see that Joseph and Mary, they were very poor. God says that the reason for a woman to become unclean after giving a birth is the flow of her blood. The flow of blood. Blood was a symbol of life, but if you see in a judgment perspective, it is a symbol of death, which is the judgment for sin. Leviticus 17 verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. So, wage of sin is death. A sinner must die. The priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean. To understand this, we must go to Genesis 3. You remember Adam and Eve, after they sinned, God comes to her. Here, not Adam, but Eve. I guess they were together. Genesis 13, verse 16, to the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain, you will bring forth children. God renders the judgment for Adam and Eve's sin. And of course, this is the common judgment. But he points to the eternal judgment of God. Through blood and pain and sorrow, woman brings forth a child because of sin. So every time woman is giving birth, she is reminded of that sin. A lot of these things that God requires people to do is about remembering who you are and what you are. You are a sinner who deserve to die. All the sacrifices, it points to death, which is a result of your sin. Now, through the blood and pain and sorrow, woman brings forth a child. Curse of sin, original sin, continues throughout the generation. But in Genesis 3:15, God also gives the gospel, the hope of male child, the seed of woman, which points to Jesus Christ. Thus, when woman is giving a birth to a son, the woman hopes for 40 days during her days of purification if her son is that seed of woman. This is how Israelite woman live in hope, live in faith that God will send a seed of woman through woman. So when every Israelite woman gives a birth to a son, for 40 days she hopes that that son is the seed of woman. God commands these commandments to them so that they could live with the hope of the Messiah. And if a baby is female, then the days of the purification is doubled. If we see 40 years as a 1 generation, then 80 years are 2 generations. Thus, women, when they give birth to a female, they hope that her daughter is the mother of the seed of woman. This is how they live. Live in the hope of the Messiah. Because they understand from all the blood and pain that without that Messiah, all die. The problem is that for you today, the sin is not that serious. You take it as if it's nothing. But God, in the Old Testament, gives this kind of commandment so that people will remind it again and again and again. Without the Messiah, we all die. Actually, Jesus makes it much serious. And yet, New Testament people, they don't get it, how serious sin is. Man, if you have to live with this, not only purification, but circumcision, and the sacrifice you have to give, you have to kill animals, just blood everywhere, you're reminded of the result of your sin, wage of your sin, we all die. But now God wants us to just look at Jesus and His death on the cross to be reminded of all that. Because if you truly understand the cross, it is more serious. God had to die to save us from sin. Now Jesus came, and in and through Jesus Christ, all the uncleanness of God's people are removed. Yes, Jesus obeyed the law perfectly for all of His people. Thus today, for Christian mothers who give birth to their children, there is no more uncleanness for them. But they must remember how they were fallen in sin as they give birth to a child through blood and pain. We must all see that without Christ, all is death. Death is everything if there is no Christ. You have to understand how desperately we need Jesus Christ. But it's all by faith now. Because even though they saw those blood and killing and all that, they sinned. That's how serious sinner, when it comes to sin, there's nothing else they could do but sin. Unless God pours out His grace. And we are so happy that Jesus Christ has saved His people from the wage of sin completely. And perfectly. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we are united to Jesus Christ. His life is our life. His story is our story. That's why history, His story, is Jesus' story. But the world will never admit that. Thus, we must know Him in order for us to know who we are. And everything that you see Jesus going through, you need to realize that you have went through those things. Because His life is your life. Just like when you see Him die on the cross, you need to realize that I die too. That concept, you need to apply to every single thing that Jesus does. And whenever you see, whenever you read the gospel, that's how you have to read it. The naming. Revelation 2:17, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone which no one knows but he who receives it. God promised that he will give us new name. We could understand this as the name of Jesus Christ, but we could also understand this as the new name that is given to us. Isaiah 62 verse 2 says, "And you will be called by new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate." The circumcision. Do you remember Colossians 2 verse 11? "And in him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." We have also received the true circumcision. The new heart has been given to us. We too died with Christ and resurrected with Christ. The baptism that we have received is a sign and seal of that reality. Thus now, with that new heart, we love our Lord Jesus Christ. So you are circumcised. We're not talking about physical circumcision, the medical procedure. We're talking about true circumcision. The firstborn. In Jesus Christ, who is the true firstborn? We are. We are the firstborns. Thus, we receive the eternal inheritance. Romans 8, verse 17, "And if we're children, you are heirs also, heirs with God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." We have been set apart, meaning that we are holy unto God. And we are already present to God in Jesus Christ. See, this is your story. And you need to realize, if you are presented to God and God has accepted you, then what kind of life you must live? Being set apart to God means that you are now holy. You must live that holy life. You cannot live like non-Christians out there. They don't believe in God. They don't trust anything that Bible says. Then how can you have the same purpose, same desire? You can't do that. Christians must understand what has happened to them. Just because it wasn't visible. Oh, your circumcision was not visible. Your presentation to God was not visible. Just because all these things are not visible, we tend to not believe. But understand what has happened to you. And if you truly understand all these things that happened to you, as you see all these things happening to Christ in the gospel, you will realize, whoa, I am this, I am that, I'm this way, I'm that way. Well, that means there's certain things you cannot do. Certain way of life you must not live. Because you are united to Christ. To do those things, to compromise with the world, you're denying what Jesus Christ has done for you. You're denying all of your spiritual experiences in Christ. You live as if you were never circumcised. You live as if you were never resurrected from the dead. But you need to believe what has happened to you, so that you must live accordingly. Otherwise, you're denying every truth that Bible tells you. Your life denies it. I mean, how can Christians' life is all about denying what Christ has done? It's just ridiculous. Thus, we are now God's possession and His inheritance. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 32, speaking of the church, it says, "The church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven." All of us are firstborn. Thus, we receive the eternal inheritance from God. The last thing, in and through Jesus Christ, we are clean. There is no more uncleanness in us. His blood has cleansed of all our uncleanness. So for you and for me, there is no more days of purification. We're always pure in Christ. So we are always, you know, Mary had to wait 41 days before she could go to the temple, meaning that she could come to God to worship Him. Waited 41 days. If you minus the circumcision day, then 40 days. But what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us is that there's no more days of purification. We could always go to God. God will always receive us because we're clean, washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. No one will tell you, you cannot come to God right now. You have to wait. It is no longer our reality. For sinner, actually, we have to say to that person, you cannot come to God forever. Their days of purification is forever. Because they refuse to be cleansed with the blood of Christ right now. And we pray that they will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, so that they will be cleansed of their uncleanness. But if they continue to reject God, forever unclean. Brothers and sisters, this is what has been accomplished for us. Jesus has completely and perfectly solved our problem of sin. Even the problem of our original sin, Jesus has completely solved. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 22, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Brothers and sisters, even our consciences are clean as we come to God. That's what has happened to us. All that Jesus Christ going through these ceremonies, and you see Christians at that time going through these ceremonies, you realize that Jesus has accomplished all those ceremonies, that we don't have to do it anymore. We could just go to God and we are accepted in Christ. Everything in the Old Testament was like that. In order for you to go to God where God is in the Holy of Holies, the Holy of Holies was covered with three big tents. So you have to go through doors after door to go to God where God is. And the regular people could not even go. Only one person, once a year, representing the whole people, he was able to go to the inside to meet God. And even then, he had to be careful. Every one step wrong, he dies. It clearly shows God wanted to show us how difficult for a sinner to approach God because of our uncleanness. But Jesus Christ came. He cleansed us with His precious blood. So we, with boldness, we come to God. Yes, physically you're sitting there, but spiritually you have entered the true Holy of Holies, where God sits on His throne and reigns the whole universe. You came right before Him. This is the reality that this meeting points to. We're so blessed. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and the salvation that you have accomplished for us. We thank you how your blood, your Son's blood, has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And that your Son's righteousness we wear. So we are able to come near to you without fear. Only with joy that we could draw near to you. Because we are holy in Christ and we are so clean in Jesus Christ. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.